Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. It is Thursday, September 18th, and cancel culture is what everyone is talking about this morning, with those on the right cheering that Jimmy Kimmel has been pulled off of ABC Late Night, and the left screaming about cancel culture. And ABC pulled Jimmy Kimmel's program after his comments on the death of Charlie Kirk, and it's not cancel culture in my opinion, but we'll get to that. So his vile and factually false comments on Monday night's show, and I won't repeat everything, but basically he alleged falsely that it was one of the MAGA supporters that assassinated Charlie Kirk, and then went on, which of course at the time, by Monday, the shooter has already been in custody. All of the, you know, conspiracies over that have been put to rest in terms of the reports. So he went out and said that as if it was a factually false, or as if it was a factually true statement, knowing that it was false. And then ended up making a really, really vile comment suggesting that mourning Charlie was how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish, which is just incredibly vile. So I want to be clear. I mean, as vile as that comment is, it just shows that nobody should be watching Jimmy Kimmel. I hadn't watched him pretty much ever, other than a few clips to maybe comment on my social media or on this program about it. But Jimmy Kimmel can say disgusting rhetoric like the goldfish comment, but it's not cancel culture when he's going out making factually false statements. It's actually a good thing that ABC is pulling him down from the air. And Megyn Kelly posted, I'm not sure who needs to hear this, but Jimmy Kimmel got on the air and falsely stated that Charlie Kirk's killer was MAGA, smearing an entire movement and Trump in particular with a vile, disgusting lie, and at a time when the threat against those on the right is at an all-time high. This is after we knew from the Utah governor that the killer had been indoctrinated into left-wing ideology, after we'd seen the shooter's bullet casings reflecting furry/trans memes, calling Charlie a fascist, and with anti-fascist lyrics. It was after we learned that the shooter was living with his trans furry boyfriend and believed that Charlie Kirk was quote-unquote full of hate. This is after we learned that the shooter was not registered with the GOP, but unaffiliated. This was after we saw him pull the trigger just as Charlie discussed trans killers. Well, we at least saw the bullet fly. There's no video that I'm aware of of the killer. I don't think that's what Megyn Kelly was referring to, but just to be clear. And there was zero evidence that the shooter was MAGA, had ever been MAGA, or was influenced by MAGA in any way. And so this is a moment where we need to recognize that the left is suggesting that if anyone on their side gets rightly fired, suspended, any sort of consequences in any way, whether it's from their own employer or even from the government, like here in my home state of Florida, there was a letter that went out from our Secretary of the Department of, or the Secretary of Education here in Florida, that said that they won't tolerate any of the glorification of violence, and there would be repercussions, and the state can do that. This is not cancel culture. This is very distinct from that, because cancel culture, by definition, and I know that's sort of a colloquial term that that the right has been using for a while, what that actually describes is being is suffering consequences either at your job or being pursued by the state for specifically your opinions, mainly political or faith-based opinions that we've seen a lot of conservatives get targeted in various ways for, with cancellations, and now obviously the heightened era of violence right now that we've seen in the escalation against Charlie Kirk. And interestingly, Politico Playbook had a pretty good breakdown of this ideological difference when they're talking about ABC, and ultimately this is the Disney company's decision to indefinitely pull Jimmy Kimmel off the air following those comments, because they said, you know, the reactions came in from both sides immediately. And yes, I hate the whole both sides terms, because that just, you know, but that's really what it is that there are just only two sides to this. And they said, I think kind of rightly so, that the right is in gloat mode, and leading from the top is Donald Trump, who was celebrating the downfall of one of his loudest liberal critics from inside Windsor Castle. He's over at the UK. When he said, great news for America. Congratulations to ABC for finally having the courage to do what had to be done. Kimmel has zero talent. Trump had predicted back in July that Kimmel would be the next host to get canned after CBS pulled the plug on Stephen Colbert. And on the other side of the fence, according to Politico, liberals are up in arms, not necessarily because many of them actually watched Kimmel's show, of course, which is kind of hilarious that Politico is seeing that and actually acknowledging that, but because this looks like yet another sign of corporate America crumbling in the face of Trump's brute force. And this is really interesting, because then they said the fallout of this, Carr, who is Trump's FCC chair, Brendan Carr, celebrated in their terms by sending various memes to media reporters. Kimmel is said to be furious, and ABC bosses, according to the Puck, which is this other outlet, one of their commentators, ABC's bosses still hope to get the matter, quote unquote, resolved and have the show return. And for conservatives, this is sort of a, you know, hey, you do stupid things, you win stupid prizes moment. Kimmel made false insinuations at a highly sensitive time and is being held accountable by his bosses. His show was losing viewers and money anyway, according to those on the right. And now the market has really done its thing. And, you know, he's welcome to start his own streaming channel and be a man on the street like Don Lemon. You know, nobody's actually silencing him. ABC just doesn't have to platform him for this. And in my opinion, it's totally fine for conservatives to gloat right now. It's totally fine to say, look, things are finally following how they should, and liberals can't just get away with actually lying on air and then putting out some of the most vile rhetoric without consequences. And so this isn't just about saying, well, we disagree with you, therefore we're silencing you. This isn't about the First Amendment at all. Everybody believes in, at least on the right, believes in a free marketplace of ideas. Kimmel was not putting out his own opinions and ideas. In my opinion, he wasn't even putting out comedy. He was knowingly putting out the idea and the factually false statement about Charlie's killer for what? The purpose of comedy? Maybe. But really, it was just because he thought he could get away with it, right? So this is about actual accountability. And I think it's an okay moment to celebrate that and to say, good, we are okay with that. And, you know, and it's fine if we say, he wasn't all that funny anyway. And I posted on social media last night, I actually found a post or tweet or whatever we're calling them these days, from Charlie Kirk back in 2017, where he had posted, Jimmy Kimmel isn't funny. And so I said, well, Charlie had the last laugh. All right. But meanwhile, Kash Patel had defends the handling of the Charlie Kirk investigation and FBI firings in a very fiery hearing. This is according to NBC News. And the FBI director testified before Congress again yesterday. He's faced criticism over a string of firings at the Bureau, intense focus on immigration cases. Of course, the Epstein files came up. But what was remarkable about this hearing was that how brilliant I think Kash Patel was at answering some of the worst Democrats on the panel who just use these types of hearings to get clips to then go on social media and basically be bombastic. And Kash was not having any of that. And so in response to some of Adam Schiff's comments, Kash Patel actually spoke over him. He didn't allow him to get that clip. He basically hijacked the clip that Adam Schiff's team probably thought he would get. And it was just a wonderful moment. This is cut 14.
Want the American people to believe that? Do you think they're stupid?
No. I think the American people believe the truth, that I'm not in the weeds on the everyday movements of inmates.
Not in the weeds.
What I am doing is protecting this country, providing historic reform, and combating the weaponization of intelligence by the likes of you. And we have countlessly proven you to be a liar in Russiagate, in January 6th. You are the biggest fraud to ever sit in the United States Senate. You are a disgrace to this institution and an utter coward.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised that you continue to lie from your perch and put on a show so you can go raise money for your charade. You are a political buffoon at best.
Well, you can take an internet troll.
Take it to the bank that the FBI is protecting this country and the state and citizens of California. We are bringing historic reform.
Point of order.
But all you care about is a child sex predator that was prosecuted by a prior administration, and the Obama Justice Department and the Biden Justice Department did squat. And what did President Trump do? Bring new charges courageously. And what have we done?
Chairman,
you said I'm the most transparent FBI director in history. 33,000 pages of information to you. I challenge you to say anything credibly to the truth. Go ahead and run to the cameras where you want to go now.
Both of you be quiet.
I was just laughing at this because it's like they're banging their gavel. Just, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, Kash Patel is right to just sit there and call him a buffoon to his face, because that's really what this is. It's buffoonery. And it's such a charade. And he knows that he can just talk over him. And this is the type of action, I think, that more and more conservatives need to come in with righteous anger toward the left that's just provoking these types of ridiculous questions and put it back on them. And he was saying, you know, you're sitting up there and, you know, your little perch and have no idea at what the FBI has done. And he probably actually does know. Schiff probably does know. But he's on purpose trying to belittle Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, and all of what they have accomplished over the last 7 months that at least Kash has been the director of the FBI. And it was just an amazing thing to see. And then it was, you know, take control of this hearing, take control of this hearing. I mean, it's a total circus. Kash Patel turned it into understand, like, so that we heard and saw that it is the circus that it already was. And I think it was a beautiful thing. And one last clip I want to play is Eric Swalwell taking his shot at Kash Patel, and it went as poorly as you can imagine. This is cut 15.
Anyone that has been terminated at the FBI has been done so because they failed to meet the muster and their constitutional obligation.
I will work on the audio-visual capabilities.
I'm going to borrow your terminology and call your entire career in Congress.
It's
been
Director.
A disgrace to the American people.
I'm
you can reclaim your time all you want.
Mr. Chairman, you're going to allow a witness to speak this way? Mr. Chairman, would you
accuse yourself, Director? The gentleman has no time.
Mr. Chairman, would you admonish the witness not to insult members?
The gentleman has no time.
Mr. Chairman, just
the committee will remember.
Quick point of order. Could the gentleman be extended an additional 20 seconds to complete his thoughts?
Why don't you try serving your constituency
Director,
by
you
focusing on reducing
General
violent
Donald
crime
Trump's
in this country
name?
And the number of pedophiles
Director,
that are legally harbored
time,
in sanctuary
Director,
cities in
Director,
California? I'll work
time.
With you on that.
Regular
you
order,
work
Mr.
With
Chairman.
Us on that.
Director,
I belong to the gentleman from California.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time. That's all that these these guys can do. And it's so pathetic. And I love to see it because Patel was ready. He was loaded for bear and he just absolutely made these guys look like the fools that they are. And so did we get anything from this hearing? Well, we usually don't get anything from congressional hearings, in my opinion. This really is just the circus that it is. But the last thing, and we're going to talk about this later on in the program as we head to break, and we need to break here. We are going to talk about how there are so many conspiracy theories right now, even from people on the right, that are suggesting that the FBI is not doing their job with going after the Charlie Kirk assassination investigation. And I just want to say right now that we should not be listening to any of those voices who are there for clickbait. Anyone who is suggesting anything different about Charlie Kirk's faith, trying to impugn his character, we need to be focused on the facts. And I personally trust Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, knowing them personally. I've known Dan for a really long time. We need to see where the evidence leads and not buy into all of these conspiracy theories just for all of the clickbait. But we're going to talk about that later on in the program. We'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 babies by the end of the year. And they can't do that without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound, the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Well, the work continues for conservatives, and especially here in my home state of Florida, with the Make America Healthy Again Commission, which Governor Ron DeSantis established in September this month. The commission's focus is on promoting medical freedom and parental choice, especially related to childhood vaccines. There have been a growing number of people who I think have really just totally misinterpreted this, and some probably intentionally, to suggest that because Florida is rightly saying that this is about medical freedom, it's about parental choice when it relates to a vaccine, that somehow Florida is banning them and this is going to, you know, cause all this sort of health crisis. No, this is about parents being able to make the best decision for their children and also for themselves. And we saw during the whole COVID narrative how the government, and mainly those on the left and the Democrats, were trying to forcibly compel a really experimental, quote unquote, vaccine, and try to compel people who really weren't even candidates, and especially children. And so this is Florida's response, and I applaud it. So joining me now is the First Lady of Florida, Casey DeSantis, and Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins, who are the co-chairs of Florida's MAHA Commission. And I'm so excited to have both of you on the program. First Lady Casey DeSantis, I'll start with you. First, I am just one of your biggest fans. I think that you have just really led in this position so incredibly well. And tell us about the Florida MAHA Commission.
Yeah, thanks for having me. No, it's the why for me is because, honestly, like, I don't want anybody to go down the road that I went through as a relatively young individual being diagnosed with cancer with a 4, 3, and a 1-year-old in the house. And I asked my physicians when that happened, I said, you know, how does somebody like me, I feel like I'm relatively healthy, I don't have any genetic predisposition for breast cancer, like, how does something like this happen? And I remember one of my physicians saying, it's sad. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course it's sad. But he goes, no, sad, standard American diet. And it really kind of led me down a road of trying to empower myself with the best knowledge available to make informed decisions for myself, my health, my well-being, and my kids. Because Jenna, and we can get into this in many ways, it's hard to decipher what is truth. You know, you see one study that comes out that says, oh, resveratrol is great, you should drink a glass of red wine a night. And then on the other hand, you see potential warnings from the Surgeon General that, well, maybe you should not be drinking alcohol at all, that it could potentially cause cancer. So part of this commission, in addition to informed consent and the vaccines and pharmaceuticals, is looking at food, what is considered healthy, what is a good or is not considered a good diet, and why, empowering people. But also we can get into, like, the chemicals and the stuff that winds up in our food and how the heck it gets there and why that this is acceptable. And it's a loophole that RFK Jr. talked about that we can get into. But it's really, honestly, it's just level setting and empowering people to make the best decisions.
And I love that, because I think anyone, and especially for the women out there listening to this, we are all familiar with all of the fad diets, and we've all probably tried at least, you know, 5 or 6 in our lifetime so far. And we don't really know who to trust. And we also don't know what is necessarily the best, because you're right, we're getting a lot of conflicting information. And, you know, the food pyramid, they've said, is totally outdated. But one of the things that I've been really concerned about, and regular listeners know, I eat gluten-free by choice because of how over-bleached, over-processed our food supply is related specifically to gluten products, compared to when I go to Europe and some of their standards. I can eat bread and pasta and it doesn't affect me in the same way. We should be talking about that more. And so what is the strategy here to get to the facts of this, not just the fads?
That's 100% right, because I'm like you. It's like, I do this diet, and I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. But what really is healthy? Because if somebody could tell me this is healthy, like, I'll do it. If I knew what was healthy, the best diet for my kids, I would make sure that I would stick to it. But you bring up a really good point about the process. Like, everybody says, oh, no processed. And that's right. Like, one of the rules of thumb that I kind of look to is, if you go to the ingredients and you can't understand anything in the ingredients, it's probably not going to be healthy. But Secretary Kennedy has really pointed out something that I think we really, really have to take a hard look at, that. And it's generally recognized as SAFE. GRAS is the acronym. And basically, it's a loophole for companies to put food or chemicals into our food supply that they consider themselves as recognized as safe. But here's the interesting thing. They create their own panel of experts, these companies do. Then those experts come up with a conclusion about whether something is safe, and they do not have to notify the FDA about that. So we've had all kinds of chemicals getting into our food supply without a lot of oversight and regulation from the FDA. And I think that that's really problematic, because we don't know what a lot of these things are doing to our health. I mean, why is it that there's petroleum byproducts winding up in sports drinks? I mean, that shouldn't be there. Why, when you look at Fruit Loops in the United States, you have all of these chemicals, but you see it over in Europe and it's flavored with cumin or colored with cumin. I mean, it's like, so why is this happening? And I think we have to really take a hard look at that. And then what is the proper role of government? And I think that's what this commission is going to do. Yes, you can inform people with the best decisions, and we're thinking of creative ways to be able to do that. But at the same time, what is the role of government? Because listen, I believe that the companies and businesses should be able to go out into the free market, have the opportunity to be able to create a product and to be able to be successful. I don't think that companies have the right to be able to put poison in our food supplies that we're giving to our kids and our families. So the Surgeon General and this commission is looking at, okay, what is the role of government through statute, through agencies, through the Department of Health, that we can do to help people just, yes, make better decisions, but also to be transparent about what the stuff is in the food.
Oh, so well said. And Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins, let's bring you in on this question that, you know, as the First Lady rightly said, this is about the proper role of government. And Florida has always led the way on this. And regardless of what, you know, the federal government is doing or what other states are not doing, Florida has always led the way for the best interests of citizens. I mean, the DeSantis administration is why I moved here and why so many conservatives are moving here. And so how are you partnering with the federal government, but what and Secretary Kennedy on this, but what's the overall strategy to make sure that at least in Florida our citizens have this best information and are best protected with the role of the state government?
Yeah, Jenna, again, always great to be on here. And look, we have to build faith and trust in our people. So how do we do that? We have to be transparent, we have to be straightforward, and we have to put this in language that isn't aimed at someone going for their second or third PhD. It's not multisyllabic. It is straightforward American English where we can understand it and share it with our families. You know, you and I have talked about this many times. I am blessed to be the Lieutenant Governor. I was blessed to be a Green Beret, but I'm a dad and a husband first and foremost. And when we talk about these things, we have to talk about them first from the thing that is most dear to each of us, and that's our families. That's what we're fighting for. That's what we stand for. So we have to go through and we have to be sure that it's facts. It's actual facts. You know, it's garbage in, garbage out. You know, just like human performance, nutrition and immunizations and health is the same way. If the information and the people making that information, the facts, are biased or aren't correct, well, then the back end of that is incorrect. People have to have faith in that. And we as Florida are going to go through and make sure that we're clear, we're transparent, we're straightforward, and we put this out in a way that's digestible for everybody, usable for everybody, and then they can make an actual decision, have informed consent to live their best life, do things the Floridian way, the American way, and frankly, just have a wonderful time loving what we do in Florida and making things better for them and their families.
Yeah, absolutely. And First Lady DeSantis, this is all about giving people the opportunity and the tools that they have to make the best choices for themselves and their families, as Lieutenant Governor Collins was just saying. And there are so many people who saw that the government was forcibly compelling, for example, the COVID vaccine during 2020 and all of that fallout. And Florida has always been about medical freedom. So what would you say to the critics who are suggesting that, and obviously falsely, that Florida is banning vaccines, you know, we're not doing that, but even suggesting that somehow medical freedom and parental rights and decision-making aren't what we should be doing for our children? I mean, I think it's insane, but what would you say to the critics?
Well, yeah, first of all, these are the medical experts, as you just pointed out, in COVID, who are saying if you put a cloth mask over your face, that's somehow going to slow the spread of COVID. That's like putting a chain link fence in front of a gnat. That's not going to do it. They've lost so much credibility. Yes, mRNA, you know, 6 feet distance, all of this stuff, pushing an ideology on people. And so, yes, I understand why there's a lot of distrust with a lot of people. And yes, you have to do your best to be able to make sure that you're gaining the trust of the citizenry of Florida. Now, I will tell you, people in Florida know that the governor and the surgeon general and our lieutenant governor are people who are in it for the right reasons. They're not fueled by special interests, and they're not doing this because, you know, that they see how somehow it benefits them, maybe by some special interest group that's going to fund their campaigns or whatever it might be. No, it is about standing up for the folks and being the freight train in front of people who might want to do harm to the people of the state. So, listen, what do you say about the vaccines? Well, what the Surgeon General pointed out and what he's going to do, there are vaccines that are currently required in statute. There are actually more vaccines that are required in the Department of Health. So the Surgeon General is going to pare it back so it matches with statute. What he talked about, and I think it's true, is informed consent, making sure that, you know, when people are going to their pediatrician, that they understand, okay, the why behind maybe doing some sort of pharmaceutical or doing a vaccine, but then also be forthcoming with what we don't know or what the studies are saying. Or with the mRNA, we don't know the long-term data and the implications and ramifications for 30 and 40 years because it's a novel technology and it hasn't been around that long. So informing parents and treating them is intelligent, humans, being respectful, and giving them the information to be able to make the decisions that they think best for themselves and their family. And the Surgeon General is talking about a philosophical debate, right? So what is the role of government? Does government have the right to come in and to compel you to do something or to take a private product, especially when that private product has liability protections? And so he's having a philosophical debate, but the sky is falling. All of this stuff is just not true. Those people were saying that back during COVID. They said no one's going to ever come to the free state of Florida and all these things. And listen, look at how many people are coming to Florida. We have record numbers amount of tourism. We're able to do property tax reform because 75% of our budget is subsidized by sales tax from foreigners coming here. So it is the free state, and we need to continue to do this by empowering people with the truth and the facts and not telling them that they have to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. And restoring trust as well in the medical community, because in my view, looking at what happened during COVID and how so many institutions now over the last decade or so, the American people by and large don't trust those institutions. And when it comes to medicine and when it comes to our health, we need to be able to trust that we have the right information. But it also seems like we are so over-medicated as a society that instead of addressing these underlying health issues, as Secretary Kennedy has been saying as well, instead of being healthy to begin with, it's like we're just treating the symptoms and we're over-medicating. And so I think that's an important component as well.
That is so important. Like, listen, so someone gave me once the analogy of the tack in the shoe, right? So if you have a tack in your shoe and your foot is hurting, you can go and get medicine that'll help the pain of the tack, but are we actually going to take the tack out and get to the root cause of a lot of these problems? Because you can reverse heart disease. You can reverse type 2 diabetes. And it's all about diet, what you're consuming, moderate amounts of exercise, and living a healthy lifestyle. But that's where this commission, I think, can be very powerful because, again, what is the definition of healthy? What is the right thing to do? What is the right foods to consume? I remember when I got, you know, breast cancer, I had ladies telling me, you got to eat broccoli and pineapple. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm eating broccoli and pineapple like it's going out of style. But I mean, so the why? What is it about those foods that are so incredibly important that are giving us the nutrients to be able to allow our bodies to heal itself? You're right. We need to look at other ways of trying to help. One of the things that, you know, that my cancer docs really subscribe to, and so I'm starting to research, and I think that this commission can do this as well, is fasting, you know, intermittent fasting. And if it is as powerful as some that are saying, and I don't know, I'm just doing the research, and I'm going to, you know, work with the Surgeon General and others to figure out, you know, is this really as beneficial as what people are saying it is? But if it is, if just limiting the window with which you're consuming food is so incredibly beneficial to your health, then why don't we talk about it more? Why isn't it more in public discourse? Oh, well, maybe because you can't monetize it, right? Maybe there isn't a way for somebody to make money off of it. So I think there are a lot of really neat components to what we're doing, but it goes back to that central premise, Jenna. It's all about trying to provide the best information available to empower people to be able to be happy and healthy.
And speaking of that, and you mentioned fasting and eating natural foods, it's remarkable how so much of what is good for us, both philosophically, spiritually, emotionally, but also physically. If we just go back to the Word of God, he tells us what to do, and it's amazing how we've abandoned all of that. But Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins, there was a thread that the First Lady posted a couple of days ago on the Florida Maha Commission and asked for people to weigh in. And if you could choose a couple of action items for the commission to prioritize, what would they be and why? It was incredible to see so many Floridians respond to that. And one of the big things, as the First Lady mentioned, was the pharmaceutical industry and how the financial incentive is a big component of this. And I think a lot of people are very concerned about big pharma and also the liability shields. Is the commission looking at anything like that and potentially also partnering with sending legislation to Congress, for example, to repeal some of those things that I think are really more in the best interests of big pharma than they are protecting our rights as citizens?
Yeah, you know, Jenna, when you look at MAHA, ultimately, I love the fact that this is all about parents having opportunities to decide what is best for their families, empowering parents, taking care of families, and making healthy decisions. So one of the things that I think is critical here is, you know, when we talk about our elderly population, we start at 65. Well, we shouldn't start at 65. We should start at 5. We should understand what are the consequences of not having food that we can trust, not having a really true understanding of what medications, immunizations, whatever the case may be, what those do to our body, so we can have truly informed consent and how we live our lives. That type of medical freedom, that type of approach, frankly, is going to lead to functionally better lives, better performance, happier kids, healthier kids. And, you know, if we look at this from just a standard American approach, happy people, healthy people make better leaders, make better community standouts, make better business owners, better workers, better educators, better students. Imagine how we're going to do as a nation when everybody feels better, works better, and has faith in what they're putting in their bodies. I think it's incredibly important from a human performance and an aging side to really get those answers there. And then as someone who's been injured, look, I've been shot. I've been blown up. I've blown out discs in my back. I've broken bones in my back. I'm missing a leg. I did surgery on myself. There's a long list. Casey and I are like the Band-Aid Brigade here, right? We've been through so much in a relatively short time. But, you know, I thank God, because you really can't solve problems if you don't understand where the problems are. You know, when we were going through this, there were times, even within the VA system, when they would just jam medications down your throat. There was no other way. I think back to when I was trying to figure out what was going on with my leg, and it was neurologic medication after medication after medication, not understanding the second, third, and fourth order effects. And I'll tell you, as a human, I felt worse on the medications than I did with the pain. I would rather live in pain and deal with my life on my terms than have it all dulled and muted and feel like I'm disconnected from my body. That was my decision, and I wasn't going to move forward. But not everybody has that opportunity, or not everybody has that approach. We have to make sure that people understand what those medications are, what the truth is, and I think that's something we should absolutely dig into and understand more, is where do the dollars flow? Look, I would love to work with the state and the federal government hand in hand, because that best represents making a difference for our people in our communities. This is about moms and dads at the dinner table and making sure that they're preparing to pass on that American dream. You know, it's something that I talk about all the time. Ronald Reagan wasn't a great communicator. He communicated great things. I believe in our nation. We have to pass on our freedoms and liberties, the things we hold to be self-evident and true, to that next generation. But we have to make sure that what we're passing on is worthy of all the sacrifice that came in. And this is absolutely the right approach, to give opportunity, to give freedom, and to give truth in lending and transparency in what our foods are, what our medications are, what immunizations are actually doing or how they work. It's critical. Mm. It's something I'm blessed to be a part of, and I can't think of anybody I'd rather work alongside on this than our amazing First Lady, Casey DeSantis. Looking forward to getting to work and rolling up our sleeves on this.
Absolutely. And I can't think of two better people in Florida to co-chair this commission than the two of you, and so much respect for you. And we're almost at the end of time. I could speak with both of you for another couple hours on this. But especially in the wake, First Lady DeSantis, of what we've seen over the last week with not only Charlie Kirk's murder and what we saw with the rise of trans violence. I think that the question that so many parents should have right now, and the conservative movement has, is the lies from Big Pharma about all of the drugs that are given, especially to minors, whether it's hormones, it's this brutal mutilation surgeries that, you know, Florida doesn't allow, which is great. But in terms of overall health, parents should be more informed instead of their doctors telling them that somehow affirming a false gender of their child and pumping them with hormones or something even more damaging is somehow healthy.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. There's legislation in the state of Florida that prevents the hormone blockers or these irreversible surgeries on minors, which I think is really important. When you look at other places and other states across the United States, they enable that sort of stuff. You know, we've had a really, I think, compelling approach to how we look at mental health in the state of Florida. And we do it from the vein of resiliency. We empower kids with truth to be able to make informed decisions. We teach kids, how to be resilient, that life is going to be difficult. And when you come up against adversity in life, you know, how do you respond to it? And we do that through a couple of ways. One, we do problem solving curriculum. We do coping, compassion, grit. We've really reframed the way that we've helped kids in the state of Florida. Another component of that is nutrition. Another component is volunteerism and physical activity. So really getting into the schools with a sound kind of base for kids to be able to learn how to navigate through life's inevitable challenges, I think is really important. I think you're right. I think a lot of people, and Jay talked to this, really go to pharmaceuticals as the answer and the end-all be-all for a lot of problems, that it's a pill. And no, taking a more holistic approach to a lot of this stuff, I think is really important. And I think, having a good, sound foundation within the schools, no ideology, just giving, kids good skill sets to be able to learn to persevere, I think is really important.
Absolutely. Well, we have to break here, but thank you so much to First Lady Casey DeSantis and Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins for your time today. And I love living in the free state of Florida because of your leadership, for the leadership of Governor DeSantis, the Florida Surgeon General, for our amazing Attorney General. I mean, everybody on the executive level and in other places of government throughout the DeSantis administration, all of you are doing such incredible work, and Florida truly is the blueprint for what the rest of the states should be looking to, and even the federal government should be looking at, saying, you know what, Florida has it great, so we're going to provide as much resources as we can and let them do their thing. But thank you so much, and for the Florida MAHA Commission, we'll look forward to what comes out of that. All right. We'll be back right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. And I promised early on in the show we would talk more about the, in my opinion, ridiculous conspiracy theory surrounding Charlie Kirk's murder and what the FBI has done so far. And we're seeing so many people, even on the right, that are suggesting that somehow we can't trust Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. They're calling the alleged shooter that is in custody just the patsy, and then, you know, saying, well, you know, clearly there were people in the tent making hand signals. One of those rumors that is still circulating and theories that has been fully and totally debunked is that the guy in the white hat and white shirt that was kind of touching his hat and all of that was somehow signaling and, you know, making these military gestures. That man is Dr. Frank Turek, who's actually here on American Family Radio Network, was a close friend of Charlie's and, in fact, put out an entire video that was just heartbreaking. You should watch it if you haven't, describing his friendship and mentorship of Charlie, and then also that day when he was in the tent. And so, no, had nothing to do with military signals, anything, having any knowledge of what was forthcoming. And so it's just utter nonsense for clickbait, for trying to instill fear, likely, or just trying to tell you you can't trust anyone in these institutions, even if there are guys. So joining me now is John Cardillo, who is a GOP strategist, but also former NYPD. And John, this just frankly makes me mad because, you know, we voted for Trump to then appoint his people. And yeah, we can, you know, talk about some that maybe aren't, in our opinion, the best pick or whatever. But Kash Patel and Dan Bongino are two guys that are straight shooters. They are doing this investigation properly and well. You and I both have known Dan for many, many years. And I can say, just from my knowledge of him, there is absolutely no way he would be part of any sort of cover-up conspiracy. So all of this is just nonsense.
Yeah. Good morning, Jenna. like you say, I know Dan a long time. He was NYPD as well before he went over to Secret Service. It is impossible for Dan Bongino to cover something like this up. He would never in a million years do it. He knew Charlie Kirk. They were very friendly. Dan is not that guy. Dan is a real cop. Dan is, you know, he's a political guy. He's a conservative guy. But he's still a law enforcement officer, first and foremost. And all that stuff, partisanship, goes out the window. He just wants to get to the facts. These conspiracy theories are infuriating, more so because the people who started them have never left their parents' basement creating content and nonsensical content. I have a good friend of mine. He's a very senior guy in the U.S. Marshals when he retired. For a while, he was the number two at WITSEC, you know, the Witness Protection Program. He and I were sitting there basically mocking these people, and this isn't a laughing matter. Sadly, at the moment Charlie was shot, I was sitting with one of my closest friends and a business partner who's a retired SEAL Team 6 operator. We watched that horrible close-up video, and when we were sitting there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, after the shooting, news started to trickle in. And then we checked social media, and the moronic conspiracy theory started. And now you've got a guy who's been 15 years with the SEAL teams, multiple combat deployments, five of them as a Tier 1 operator, laughing at those conspiracy theorists. So all the real law enforcement people I know, the special operators, they're looking at these conspiracy theories and saying, wait a second, these people are insane. 200 yards with a deer rifle, which is essentially what it was, from a kid who grew up hunting and shooting with his dad, is a relatively easy shot, especially in Utah, where you take these shots across these, you know, sweeping landscapes. 300-yard shots are pretty common there on games. So, no, you know, anybody who knows what they're talking about, who has seen this kind of thing, who understands firearms, they're not buying these insane conspiracies. They're actually mocking them.
Yeah, and I cover this only because I don't want anyone in our audience to be taken in by this or be misled. And it's fascinating to me that even the Prime Minister of Israel put out a video statement about Charlie's support of Israel and captioned, "Charlie Kirk was a great man. He deserves honor, not lies." And then just moments ago, our friend David Brody, who writes for CBN, posted a clip of his interview with Charlie Kirk's pastor, Rob McCoy, who had very strong words for those who are trying to build their online audiences off the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Rob McCoy said, "It's profitable to speculate about Charlie. You can take things out of context. You can fabricate things to build your case and put Charlie on your side. It's exactly what happened with Abraham Lincoln. Everyone wanted a piece of the man when he died. Everyone is putting out stuff about Charlie as though it's the time to do it. We haven't even said goodbye to him. His family is still grieving, and everyone is trying to profit off of this. And I just simply say, if you are a Christian, stop it." John, you know, you and I knew Charlie, and, you know, I am not putting out any of my text messages with him. I mean, I just think that's so inappropriate in the wake of his death to try to somehow say, you know, look at how close Charlie and I were. You know, I mean, it seems like everybody's saying, look at me through this, and especially someone like Candace Owens. And I just think it's absolutely despicable that she is trying to cause division and stir the pot right now and claim that Charlie was trying to become a Catholic or all of these other conspiracy theories when his memorial service hasn't even happened. I mean, and so I just think it's the worst way to respond to this for Christians.
Yeah, well, if people didn't think Candace was despicable before this, hopefully this opened their eyes. And it's pretty common knowledge to those of us inside the political and media sphere that Charlie backed away from Candace. They hadn't spoken. She hated him for it. She would badmouth him. I can tell you, on background, three major conservative media figures I'm in text groups with, told me last time they saw Candace, which was a while ago since she went up the deep end, she was ranting about how horrible Charlie was and how horribly he treated her, et cetera, et cetera. So what Candace is doing is one of the most ghoulish, despicable things I've ever seen. I would never, during the 2024 primary, the DeSantis and Trump camps essentially had a hell of a sparring match. Things got a little vicious. I could share text messages from people that would destroy their careers and get them fired. I would never do that. And these are despicable people. For Candace to do that with Charlie's text, I thought that was one of the most distasteful, classless things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, for those listening, just be very careful who you listen to. Better to go and listen to Charlie's own words and his reels. Honor him. And remember that his family is mourning during this time. So, John, really appreciate your words. And for those, please listen tomorrow. Pastor Jack Hibbs is going to join me for most of the program to talk about how we move forward through all this as Christians. And then Pastor Daryl Harrison is going to come on and talk about counterfeit Christianity. This is so important that we seek truth in this moment. So, as always, you can reach me and my team, Jenna@AFR.net. Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.